words of Murshid, let every movement of life whisper thy name to my ears. Let every movement of life whisper thy name, we could say in my ears or to my ears. Do you remember Karima Gita? It's from Nature Meditations. What's the exact phrase? To my ears. Okay. So here's the little tune. Listen all the way through, because then the zikr is sung afterwards, after the English words. Whisper thy name to my ear. Let every movement of life whisper thy name in my ears. It's in. Allahu, Allahu, Allah, Allahu, Allahu. Whisper thy name in my ears. Let every movement of life whisper thy name in my ears. Allahu, Allahu, Allah. Towards the One, the perfection of love, harmony, and beauty, the only being united with all the illuminated souls who form the embodiment of the Master, the Spirit of Guidance. And let thy divine blessing pour forth through us and in us and fill us. Remember the attributes we're concentrating on. Yamunaur, O bestower of God's illuminated ways, illuminations. Yagani, in Murshid's words, to make a situation favorable. And Ya Azim, Azim for vitality, courage, strength, and self-confidence. Now take your hands as if Murshid is giving you his blessing and pour it upon yourself and through yourself so that you may become a living example. Class over. Quick review again. Day one, from Murshid's teaching, Sufi Message, Volume 8, The Privilege of Being Human. How humans, human beings, how we are likened to light. He gives us 5 points. Anyone remember them? Remember some of them?
Spiritual.
That was yesterday, first day. Let me get you started. The soul is the glow
of the flame.
The mind is the
flame.
Okay. The body is the
end of the flame.
The end of the flame. The heat is the
atmosphere.
The atmosphere, the light, the radiance and the atmosphere. And the smoke that rises, it's fuel, and it also is? It's not really of us. It's kind of those obscurations, right? That we don't want to get identified with that. That's just arising. Like clouds and smoke, it clears eventually, right? But it can also give us energy if we need it. Lots of questions and answers about right living and about how do we do things to please others. And Murshid basically says, don't do your best, right? That was that message. Everyone remember it? Yeah. And day two were signs of spirituality. Everyone was very awake yesterday. I'm sure it's because we all wanted to know exactly how spiritual are we? Where am I on that scale, right? So he talked about, I think there were 8 things, correct? Did anyone count? 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Actually, 10. 10. The health of the body is therefore spiritual. The take care of one's body is spiritualism. The balance of the mind is spiritual. Okay, so a lot of what we've been learning at this camp is people have been, I think, eating well, they've been resting well, we've been moving, you know, we've been stretching and working on the body and the internal organs. Just a reminder that whatever's going on, it's all zikr, even though we think that a certain form is zikr, it's all zikr. It's all God, right? I have to tell my students at the college that are a little troubled about things, it's like, you know what? Let's just imagine we're those crazy people out on the corner saying it's all part of some purpose, you know? A greater purpose. Think of it that way. They laugh and then it helps lighten it. The purity of the soul is also a sign of spirituality, and a good atmosphere is a sign of spirituality. So like Zuleika...
Is there a sister in your house, you mean?
Yes, your house. This house. The atmosphere that we radiate around us. Yeah, our atmosphere. But I always think, you know, this is the house, right? Wherever I go, I'm home. Wherever we are, you know, that's the zikr. We're circumambulating the heart, which is the seat, the throne of God. This is the temple. So Murshid's telling us how to keep the temple well and in good order. So health of body, balance of mind, purity of soul, a good atmosphere, the power of the word, how we use our speech. Courage without fear. And next is fearlessness. Yeah, you remembered that one. Okay. Self-confidence is a sign of spirituality. The capability of accomplishing something, so putting one's goal before one and using that as an object of attainment. And Mersha often says, once you attain it, you can release it. But in the attainment, we learn something. We learn something. This very much relates to Yazim, by the way. You put the object before you, you learn about concentration, contemplation, meditation. Mersha Hadayat had asked me a few years ago, and I'm sorry to say, I haven't done it yet, but I will. Nuri, could you write an article? Because frequently at summer school, I'm asked to guide that practice on concentration, meditation, concentration, contemplation, and meditation, but there are other aspects like creative visualization and moving the object in space and visualizing that. And he said, could you write an article on Murshid's teaching relating it to the use of computers? I thought that was very interesting. How the development of that understanding and the use of computers can develop our concentration, our contemplation, our meditation. And of course, he really understands that this is the contemporary vehicle for spreading the message. I mean, there's something in the blessing of the person-to-person contact, but also is there something in tuning oneself to an atmosphere throughout time and space that isn't limited. It isn't limited. I mean, certainly if we tune to the living Christ or the Buddha or any of the great pantheon of deities in Hinduism or, you know, any of the great beings, the prophets, you know, they are here. You know, when I was in Catholic school, I had a very special nun teach me. And she said, and I was a little, there were challenges in the family and our personal life, and so she was sympathetic about that. She would keep me in from recess with the excuse of doing work, and she made me work. I had to empty the trash cans and clean the chalkboard and sweep. But she was always imparting something. It was very sweet. And she was, her name was Sister Mary Eugene, and she was really big. She was like more than 6 feet tall, and she had those big prayer beads, you know, and people were a little afraid of her. But she said to me to never forget that the vibration and breath of all the great beings, she was using Jesus, but she also said like Mozart and Beethoven, that those still exist in space, that once that energy is created, that we can, she didn't say tune into it, but she said we can breathe it in, were her words. We can breathe in the breath of Jesus. He lived, He was here and tuning into that. Well, that's kind of what we're talking about. That does relate to having a good atmosphere and tuning into an atmosphere of Murshid. We all are doing that. Murshid Sam, Pir Shabda, Murshid Hidayat, you know, Pir Vilayat, you know, God rest his soul, Pir Zia, whoever your current inspiration, direct inspiration is, and all of your teachers, and perhaps your root religions as well. We can tune in. So self-confidence is a sign of spirituality. The capability to accomplish something and the strength of struggle all through life. The strength of struggling along all through life, are Murshid's words. The strength of struggling along all through life. So it's an indication there that we have to be fearless and have courage and self-confidence. And we talked about it yesterday, that if we just look at our own life and how things are cyclical and we, you know, things, they can be bad, they can be really bad, and then they take a turn. They become better. And this is a cycle. And if we relate, if we identify with a fixed point in that cycle, we can get a little bogged down. But we can have courage that it's bound to change. This is life. It's living. It's in motion. And we have a lot of support and a lot of help if we tune in. The spirit of guidance. Okay. I'm going to move to day 3. Is that okay? Because that's today.
I hope so.
Get on with it.
I hope it's okay.
Yeah. it is okay. Yes. So today is the, from the same body of teachings, this is the section, the purpose of life. The purpose of life. The purpose of life of an individual is to perfect the light within, which is her, his very being. So that's the whole purpose of life. To perfect that light within our being, your being. Whatever may be the qualifications of a person, whatever be their resources, position, or rank, if the light within is not brilliant, one cannot fulfill the purpose of life. In the Bible, in the allegory of the 10 wise and foolish virgins, the same idea is explained. Do you know that story? Can someone tell it? Or you want me to try to? You want to do it? Can you do it, Rabbi and Noor?
I don't know how many of each, but there were a group of women, they were waiting for the bridegroom to come. It was a wedding party. And half of the women had prepared and they had their oils and their lamps and their wick ready, and they were just waiting in anticipation. And the other women, for whatever reason, didn't. And then the bridegroom came and the wedding party started to leave, and then the five women who didn't have their lamps ready, they said, well, wait, can we have some of your oil? We don't have any oil, our wicks aren't ready. And the five who were prepared said, no, I'm sorry, you can't. We're here for the bridegroom. We're not here for you. You know, you were, what were you doing? You know, we were here to wait for the bridegroom to come, and now he's here, so we're going with him.
That's it.
Yeah.
So, in the context of the Bible, who's the bridegroom? And what's the lamp? It's our preparation. It's like doing our work, our preparing our temple, preparing our atmosphere, having the oil and the wick ready, you know, preparing the light. Having the light, you know, and it has to do with that object of attainment that we talked a little bit, you know, as we have the object of attainment that we're reaching towards, our the law of attraction is also drawing the object of attainment closer to us. So in a way it's like that, having the light within and the bridegroom having that guiding light as well. It is the guiding light, and it is drawn to the guiding light, one and the same. We talked a little bit yesterday about the inner and outer life, how they reflect each other. It's that next level of teaching that Murshid is also referring to here. So thank you so much. It was very beautiful and very pithy the way you explained that. So Murshid goes on to say, the foolish ones did not keep oil in their lamps. The wise virgins kept it. The wise ones therefore answered the purpose of the day, which was promised, and the foolish ones repented. They repented. They hadn't done their work. They hadn't prepared. Now, Murshid gives us a little bit of a kind of koan here, and I read it again and again, and I wonder sometimes if it, you know, it's been said that especially in these message volumes, which are the orange books, sometimes the language got a little, or the intention maybe got a little confused. The brown books that are available through the Neckbach Foundation and also downloadable PDFs are extremely accurate to the word. You even see the notations if Murshid wanted to make any changes. So this is the expression. 10 means one, so we know that, and then we know. And then he says 0 means nothing. So it's interesting, you know, 1 and 0. La ilaha illallahu. It's everything, it's nothing. It's full, it's empty. It's, you get it? Yeah, okay. A wise soul 10 means one, 0 means nothing. A wise soul and a foolish soul. He just goes on, and then there's a period. The wise soul collected all material in order to make his light more brilliant or her light more brilliant for that day, which was the day of promise. The foolish soul wasted it and found it absent at the time it was needed. And, oh my gosh, it's really like that. It's like that with practice and these teachings. It's like, what have we built within? Is it that house of cards that we're trying to keep together? Or is it really a strong foundation based on something that inspires us, that gives us that light even in the darkness? And never forget, when you feel you're shrouded in your greatest darkness, you know, St. John of the Cross talks about it's like an owl getting light shined in its eye. Like the light is so brilliant it's blinding the owl. And that can be also what's happening for us. Perhaps it's just the light's gotten turned in, you know, it's like when the light suddenly comes on and you're in the darkness, it can blind you, or vice versa. You come in from the bright light into a dark place. It may be like that. And it's just having the self-confidence and the fearlessness to also face that and know. And know that this too shall pass. Yeah. Remember what Murshid said, was it yesterday, about hopelessness? That hope is... To a living person without hope, they are dead. To a dead person with hope, they are alive. When we think of our life in the world, in our material strife, in our spiritual struggle, what do we need? What do we need? We need that light, the spark of which is within us, which is our being. Every time when we are without it, when we lack it, it causes us all failure and distress in life. Since our health, our balance, and the clearness of our vision all depend on the light within. Again, it's that vitality, it's that light. And remember the practice, I inhale divine light and life. I radiate divine life and light. Murshida Vera, when she was at these camps, she talked about sipping in the light. You know, it's on everything. It is in everything. It's the stuff of everything. When we look at it at its basic primal level, it is. It's just taking different forms. We can sip that in. Sip that life and that light in. I want to get into some questions and answers, and then let's just go into the practice, okay? And you, if there's question and answer, we can have those too. But these are the questions that are asked by Murshid students and his response. How can one revivify a soul? How can one revivify a soul? Murshid's answer. By imparting one's life to him or her. Just as a lighted candle can light another candle which is put to it. When the fire has gone out in the stove, one must bring something, some other fire to light it again. So our light and life can help revivify a soul.
But isn't it more than just, it's like you can be light, but you have to have this relationship, because the candle has to touch the other candle. It's not just standing. It's a contact, right?
It can happen anytime, anywhere. It can happen through the breath. It can happen through the glance. It can happen through a smile. It can happen through a nod. You can impart it that way too. And Mercia talks about that, you know, that there's that sharing of blessings in all those ways. That's contact too. I believe, at least, this is what, and it's been my experience, I don't need the intimate details to have a sympathetic feeling and to be able to be receptive if someone wants to share. And it's sometimes a passing moment. In the grocery store, I find it that way, or driving on the interstate, caught in traffic, and you just let people know, I understand, I'm in it with you. Or sometimes people can be so mean and so cruel, and it's really, you know, we take it so personally, and of course, you know, it can be our most loving friends, and then we really take it personally, but it can also be strangers, and we often wonder, but you know, you just don't know the backstory. Like, we don't know, maybe they have just come from the hospital bed of a sick one, or maybe they have had something, we don't know, and so can we just share our light and our sympathy and our love? It's not easy. I'm not saying it's easy, but it's a practice. And it can be perfected. Does that make sense? By imparting one's life to another, just as a lighted candle can light another candle, which is put out. When a fire has gone out on the stove, one must bring some fire to light it again. One has to give from one's own hope. Therefore, the one who gives must be powerful enough to give. So we don't give until we're depleted. Is everyone hearing that one? Because we tend to exhaust ourselves. Mercia's not asking us to do that. No one is. And I love the way Mother Krishnabai responded to a disciple who had just come to India and was struck with the extreme poverty and said, I just feel like I want to give everything away. And she said, you don't give from your principle, you give from your interest. Right? You don't give from your initial investment. You have to maintain something. But what's extra? You can give that. Does that make sense? If you're not in finance or you don't have investments, you might not get it. But it makes sense, right? Mm-hmm. And I remember the best piece of advice that I got from my good, good friend, one of the seniors in the Sufi order, Aziza Miller. She said to me before I left for India, you know, and you know, many of you know, I've come and gone many times, and I do work in pretty difficult places, but I'm not going to talk about that now. But the point is that to not let those things break us when we witness them. To be able to give our courage and our faith and our understanding. And Aretha Miller said, you know, Nuria, sometimes it's enough just to give a smile and acknowledge someone. And I found that to be very true. And I'm not talking about people like us walking around or other travelers. You know, it's like the people that can't walk around and they're on the street begging, or, you know, people that have leprosy and no one wants to be near them. I've learned a lot from those people, from my friends. They're my friends. You know, we correspond and I ask them, I'm curious about what the disease does to the body, and you know, I want to look at it and I want to understand what their treatments are and what, how they feel with that and what's that. I'm curious about that, naturally curious. It's not morbid on my part. I'm just interested in understanding and learning, you know. And it's also just such, gives me such great courage that some of the people that are lepers have children that are perfectly healthy and don't have the disease. You know, and they care for the children just the same, and they make sure that the children are well. It's very beautiful. But, you know, they're by the grace of God. And if anyone's had an injury or been incapacitated mentally, emotionally, or physically, I mean, you know, it's, you understand, right? Yeah. Or helped someone. Some of us have parents that we've helped, yeah, and cared for. We never rush anybody in again, do we? You know how people are always on people's heels? We just let that, you know, it changes us. Murshid says, question from Amirin, when can one consider oneself powerful enough to give? One can judge by one's own self-confidence, because that life one gives is one's own life to another. That comes from self-confidence. In the Sufi terminology, it's called imam. Imam. Iman, excuse me, iman. I-M-A-N, iman. It's the most sacred thing in the whole religion. Self-confidence is the secret to miracles. Self-confidence is the secret to miracles. I learned so much from my mother, you know, as she was going through this process of cancer. And she was always so optimistic. And she was also a bit stubborn, so that feistiness served her very well. You know, she refused to give in. In the end, she gave in very gracefully, by the way. She didn't struggle. But she would go to the doctor, and he would say, oh, this thing is happening, this thing is happening. She'd sit on the edge of the examination table and she'd kind of kick her legs like a little girl and she'd say, are you sure they're my results and not someone else's? Did you get anything mixed up? Say, no, Maggie, sorry to say that's you. And she'd go, jiggle her feet. Oh, it's okay. I'm going to pray and it's going to be fine. And her oncologist, who ended up initially being such a harsh person, which of course you can imagine the defense mechanisms that one must have having losing people so often, but he ended up just, you know, it was all hugs and kisses. All, you know, she transformed people that way. And she had a real warmth. Her atmosphere was very warm. She never met a stranger. Everybody was a friend. And she was very interested in people and their lives. But he said to her, and he was Catholic, he knew we were raised, my mother was Catholic all her life, and I was raised Catholic and had that affinity, as most of you know. And he said, well, you know, I don't really think there's a big, you know, man up there with a white beard and white hair and a staff and a white gown. But he said, what we know from a scientific point of view, this has come to do with self-confidence, is where thought goes, form follows.
The doctor said
that? The doctor said that.
Wow,
that's a good doctor.
What we know is where thought goes, form follows. We know that. We've heard about all those studies of the placebos and double and triple blind studies. All of that. It's not, you know, all that old mysticism is now, it's new medicine. It's new medicine. And so that kind of you know, she did a lot of visualization, you know. Every time she took the chemo, she prayed on it that it was going to make her body well. You know, she was very conscious of that. And she lived 15 years with really what was basically an incurable cancer that they just controlled somewhat. That's pretty amazing. That, to me, it showed me a lot. And her doctors, too. She's been the presentation of many a medical conference because she's quite a story, you know, and her optimism and her courage and her sometimes fight really helped. And that self-confidence, isn't it? It's an living example of it. Yeah? Got it, Rabia?
Pure nectar.
Yeah.
Because I get severely criticized for my self-confidence.
Hmm. Oh, well, yeah. There's a lot of people that want us to put our light under a bushel. Shine on, girlfriend. Shine on. I had a very good mentor, now she's become incapacitated and is living the rest of her life in a nursing home, and she's a beautiful being. And I go, and I always say, now, I can only stay for this long. 6 hours later, we're just absorbed in spiritual conversation. She understands this path, and she understands many other things. And that's one of her mantras to me. Don't hide your light under a bushel. Shine. Just shine. And shine with whoever you are. Shine with love, shine with compassion for those people that want to dim the light. Some people feel that they are lesser than, but we're not. We can lift them up with our light too. We don't have to hide it, right? Oh, this is a great one, and then I promise I'm going to get to practice, but it's all practice, right? Yeah. This is a perfect example. I'd forgotten that Murchid gave us. Suppose a doctor comes to see a patient who is in a bad condition and says, oh, you've called me too late. This person has gone very far. Still, as you've called me, I shall write a prescription. But another doctor may say, it's never too late. I am sure all will be well. I shall do my very best, and certainly the patient will recover. He may give the same prescription as the first doctor, but his prescription will be of greater value. Why? Because besides the medicine, he's also given his self-confidence, which is a million times greater in healing power than prescriptions. And you know, we all, here's the good news and here's the bad news, okay? We're all gonna suffer. We're all gonna have old age, sickness, and death. But that's also the good news. Because it keeps going on, I'm sure of it. Another story. Mom, it's Memorial Day, by the way, so I'm going to indulge by telling Mom stories. So she dies very gracefully. And the first night I was there quite late with her body and waiting for people to come and take her body, and I didn't sleep very much. The next night I got some sleep, and my mother, it was out of total, I mean, we could say it was a dream, but anyway, there was total blackness,
And all of a sudden, it was almost, I mean, it wasn't that, but it was animated like those cartoons where it's like, pow, you know? And it was like, Mom appeared, you know? And she was just brilliant, you know? And I remember she had on kind of a cute, you know, she was a fashionista, so it was kind of like a 1960s shift dress, you know? Little A-line with polka dots. She loved polka dots. And it was very colorful, and she was brilliant. She, of course, had her jewelry on and all of her makeup, and she's like, wow! I mean, and she's really like this, like, wow! I can't tell you how great this is! Don't worry about me! I am so happy, and this is so much fun, you know? I mean, it's like one big party all the time, you know? And I'm like, whoa! And then it was gone, you know? And the next day, I was meeting to make arrangements at the church, and a priest kind of just, again, it was like, is he really there? Sometimes I wonder, am I really seeing this? Do you see it too? This beautiful priest, who I hadn't seen before, kind of popped out, and it's like, I said to him, well, did you just arrive off the golf course? He was all in white, and he had white hair, and he was really beautiful, and he's like, no, I don't even remember his name, I'm Father so-and-so, I have a pretty great gig, I've retired in this parish, and so, you know, and who are you? And I said, I'm not from the parish, my mother's father and grandfather built this church, and so, you know, Father, Brinkley, I don't know his name, but anyway, wonderful man, is gracious enough to allow us to do the service here. It'll be convenient for the family. And he said, I'm so sorry you lost your mother. And I said, well, you know, I had this dream of her last night, and I told him what happened, and he said, oh, my dear, that wasn't a dream. That was a visitation. Your mother was there and sending you that message. But, you know, it gives a message of hope, you know, that, wow, it's like, great, you know. Don't be afraid. Talk about self-confidence. Right?
Yes, that's what I thought of yesterday when I mentioned death. I was there when my mom passed, and I had taken care of her for like 6 months there.
Right, right.
Primary caregiver. And when she passed, the joy that she felt was just, you know.
Amen.
And it was also, I did not have a visitation. It was like, I'm out of here. You know.
Yes.
It's, you know.
Yes.
I'm through with this particular lifetime playing whatever.
Yes.
You know. I mean, I was a basket case, but the joy was, I don't know, I just felt
it's a comfort, and you can remember that, and it helps us, doesn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. That's wonderful. She gave you a great gift. She loved you very much.
Oh.
Yeah. And she was lucky to have you. And you her. So let's work with these three practices, and then we'll finish up. I think there's one or two more questions and answer here. But this, I was reflecting this morning about moon hour and this light. And as I said, you know, Murshida Vira was always so sensitive to the elemental world and the subtle realms. And she would often say, you know, to run your hands over the plants as you walk past them and absorb their light and life and give it back to them. You know, that it's a part of a cycle. And just one, Murshid Sam's original student, have you ever met her? I've forgotten her name. From Pakistan, do you know who she is? Anyone?
Yes.
She came to visit us in Kansas City. She's a lovely person. But she said Murshid Sam's practices for her, number one was, I think she had a rather quick rhythm. So he gave her the practice to do on the breath, in one exhalation and inhalation, towards the one, the perfection of love, harmony, and beauty, the only being united with all the illuminated souls who form the embodiment of the Master, the spirit of guidance. It's a beautiful practice if you need to reset your rhythm. The other practice Murshid Sam gave to her was to remove her shoes and in the morning dew walk with bare feet to absorb the life force from the fresh dew from the grass. How beautiful. Life and light. Life and light. And try to remember that when we breathe, We are not just breathing with our nostrils and our lungs. Our whole body is breathing that breath. So now we're Murshid's words and Nayak Khan's words saying, O bestower, God, the one who offers divine illumination. Divine illumination. To light our path, to create that self-confidence, to create the radiance, theme of the camp, radiance, to have that atmosphere. And again, we're not always, you know, some may have this tendency to shine, but some of us may have a tendency to shine. You know, that there's a difference. And we, if we become masterful, we know when to do what, too. Are we receptive? Are we active? So Manawar, divine illumination, asking that we can know, understand life better. So that we can know and understand life better. You want to count for us?
Sure.
I can then just relax and flow. That'd be great. Okay, so we begin the first 34, Yam Naur. Then the second 34, whispering. It becomes more subtle. We are transforming from an audible sound to a vibratory sense of the Wazifa. And the last 33 will be just in silence, letting it circulate. Whisper on Munawar. 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 Breathe in.
Munawar.
And then out.
Munawar. Breathe out. Munawar. Munawar.
In.
Munawar. 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 Munawar.
Just silently breathing in and breathing out. The next practice we've been working on is Yagani. Yagani. If you're continuing with these practices, and some of them, some of those in our esoteric circle, I know will, and if some of you may be inspired, and please again talk respectfully with your guides and your mentors about that. Try to feel the direction of the Wazifa too, because they're, like Zuleika's teaching us about movement. These also have a movement to them. So the Mnawar, how is that sounding and feeling to you in your body? What happens? What's the, the kind of after effect or the atmosphere that's created? And then Gani, it has a different direction. It has a different impulse, obviously. But this is described by Murshid to make the situation favorable. And then again, yesterday we talked about, and what's favorable. Yeah. And so sometimes it may seem as if things are going in an unfavorable way, but if we consider that the favor of God too, there can be a blessing in it. And we can gain in self-confidence and fearlessness and radiance and vitality. So Gani, to make a situation favorable, or one could say that we may become aligned so that we understand the favor of God. Beautiful way of sort of being or attempting to be in the world. And you'll keep count for us again. Thank you. Yagani, 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 Yagani. Now, on the whisper, think of this as, at first, we're calling aloud to this attribute. And as we call aloud, it draws closer to us, like a beloved, like a baby, We're calling to the child, to the beloved, to our lover, whatever you want to think of. For me, sometimes it's my dogs, You call them, and then when they come closer, it's like, oh, I'm so happy to see you, It's like this, and then we say, Gani, and then it doesn't matter, you're just together. There's no need for a sound. So that's why we're going through this progression of sound. So, Gani, 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 Gani. No ya, just Gani now. Gani, 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 Gani. Silently, in union with Yagani, just on the breath. Thank you. And I'm going to refer to Mershit's words on Ya'azim because they're very beautiful. And again, for the benefit of those of us here and for the recording, these are from a typewritten manuscripts that were instructions that were given, taken in shorthand, and then transcribed from Mershid's instructions. So these are his words about these wazifas. And so the last one is Ya'azim, Ya'azim. And he says that this is a practice that is taken up to gain force, strength, enthusiasm for the accomplishment of the work. And of course, he's telling us here the purpose of the work is to strengthen the light within, to care for the light, to make sure our lamps have oil in them, and we have a wick, and that we're ready, you know, the light is there. And also make sure your light is a little sheltered. You know, it's like, what's the saying, the candle in the wind? You know, sometimes it can burn fast. So lengthening the breath can increase our vitality and our strength and our power, and knowing when to use the breath with force, when not to use it with force, all those things. Zuleika was talking this morning about Mershid Sam's papers on the culture of breath. And in the Rahaniyat's Mershid Tanzen, there's a team actually, but he is an archivist, and I think it's at MershidSam.org. Now these papers are being published and available to us in PDFs, so you may want to refer to those about Mershid Sam's teachings on the culture of breath. And of course, in the Gathas of Hazrat and Icon, there's teachings on the breath too. Okay, this is probably a good time for a public service announcement. Karima Gita, everyone knows Karima Gita. She could raise her hand just in case. And Nurse Salima and also Rahim, they can help. If you're not on, if you would like to be on our email list, you can give them your email address, and then this recording will be available, and we send out other inspirational teachings that are shared around the world about regarding the message on brotherhood, sisterhood work, healing work, universal worship. So there's those available. The website's very comprehensive, SufiMovement.us. We have a search function up in the right-hand corner. There's a lot of stuff out there for you. So we do audio recordings here, but when we're at home, we have videos also that are available if you want to watch. We also have for dedicated murids and initiates, we have practice manuals with some of the practices and prayers in it. So you can talk to Karima Gita about that. It has that purification practice that I inhale divine light and life, I radiate divine life and light. But it also has other practices that are given through our esoteric school that are beneficial. It's probably best not to take them up without maybe talking to someone. And I'm certainly available in email to, or phone or Skype or whatever. That's how it works. Okay. So Ya'azim, again, that whole body of the vitality, the courage, the life force, the light, confidence, you know. Ya'azim. Azim. Ya'azim. 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 Ya Azim. 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 Whisper just the word Azim. 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 On the breath. Thank you. Question asked of Murshid. Is love for one's neighbor not sufficient to help? To help another, to help? His answer. Love is the substance. By self-confidence, one makes that substance. And by the power of self-confidence, one is able to impart it. For instance, if a person sees a person who is very ill and thinks, "What can I do? How can I do something?" Then one can do nothing. For healing, it is all self-confidence that is needed. For healing oneself and for healing another. Not only for healing, but for all things in business, in industry, in all work, self-confidence is necessary. Now, the Sufis make a very big distinction between healing and a cure. Sometimes the disease or the ailment or the incapacitation is the healing, is the blessing. And if one has disease in one body or some injury, this is not a shortcoming. We're not talking about a cure. One should never feel that they have not attain something spiritually if there's a disease or illness that one hasn't overcome. But great healing of the spirit of the being can happen through that. A great transformation. One can become more loving, more radiant, more compassionate towards others. You know, there's those great stories of those beings that are completely incapacitated, and people gather around them for the great blessing that they're radiating. You see, it's not, oh, they're a weak or they have failed in some way. Sometimes they're very holy beings that are taking on this for the benefit of others. You know, I always thank the person that just got stopped by the police. Thank you. Oh, I'm always thank you. I hope that it's not too harsh, but it's like, you know, they took that on to, as if it was, you know, it could have been me. And sometimes if one can think of one's those things that happen to us as we're churning it. So don't ever think that being sick means you're doing something wrong or it's a punishment. Can be a great blessing.
Same teaching in A Course in Miracles.
Is that true?
Absolutely.
Beautiful.
I'm too dumb to read that 600, but I rely on the Kenneth Wapnick, Peace and Blessings Be Upon Him.
Oh, yeah.
And that's what he's doing in all of his.
Yeah.
He takes his CDs.
Yeah. So Murshid again says, it's the same in all things. A person may start a business, an enterprise, and someone may come along and take away all his strength by saying, what a fool you are to have begun this. Have you thought of this and that? Then all the power and radiance the man has can be lost in a moment's time. Another person may say, it's a noble undertaking. I'm sure you will succeed. Therefore, my prayer and my thoughts are with you. I shall do all I can to help you in your enterprise. I wish you success. Now, of course, if you're some of us, or like Maggie Sabato, Mom Sabato, she'd take that as a challenge when people tell her she couldn't do things. And she'd do it just to show them, too, so you can do that as well. Thank them for their advice and concern and just move on. Use the energy of their concern or their criticism to be that fuel. Yeah? Shine on. Okay, we're going to say the Khatum. And after that, I wish for you, or those that wish to be a part of this, to assemble yourselves here. And we are going to take... So some of us are going to scooch together here in a picture. We can maybe move this.
It's a selfie stick. That's the first one I've seen.
I've never seen it with the red.
What else could it be for Nuria? Joe and I got this in Rome. We were standing before the Bernini statue that was before the Bernini Hotel at night. It was illuminated. It's like, it's too perfect. And all these Indian men were around us trying to, you know, of course, don't you want to buy a rose for your sweetheart? And it's like, and how about a selfie stick? It's like, I take the coral one, the red, orange one, you know. And I said, oh, there's no one that can do it any better than we can do it to ourselves. So, you can take that anywhere you like. And this is for the benefit of others that can't be with us that enjoy seeing our faces. So if you'd like to be a part of it, I'm going to post on the website. So, you know, if you have an issue about someone seeing you at Sufi camp, you can stand over there and be a part of it energetically. And We're going to do our very best to see. We'll be able to see it. We'll be able to see ourselves and hopefully get. So we're going to scoot forward. We're going to move this. We're going to get people behind us and people here. Okay?
Yeah.
Okay.
And before we say our closing prayer, may I interject?
Yes.
If the teachings of the message have been a benefit to you, we welcome donations to support the work of spreading the message, and that may be left in our basket.
Little begging basket.
Down at the table, and checks may be written, but please know that it's also tax deductible.
It is. And if you have a check or you put your name on your cash, we'll make sure you get a receipt, and we can provide you any documentation. But know that this money is not going here. This money is going here. And when I send the money, I always let people know that this is from our group and from what we've gathered, and that this is for the benefit of all the beings that have contributed and for the merit of, you know, the organizational work. So it's, you know, your way of contributing. You can contribute on your own, but if you wish, we'll help with that because we have some direct lines.
And contributes to us having access to these teachings on the online.
Yeah. And that goes for all of you tuning in at home. Push the donate button. O thou who art the perfection of love, harmony, and beauty, Lord of heaven and earth, open our hearts that we may hear thy voice, which constantly cometh from within. Disclose to us thy divine light, which is hidden in our souls, that we may know and understand life better. Most merciful and compassionate God, give us thy great goodness. Teach us thy loving forgiveness. Raise us above the distinctions and differences which divide. Send us the peace of thy divine spirit, and unite us all in thy perfect being. Amen.